we're gonna need a new second baseman now. Which one of you outfielders wants to try second base? Huh? Huh? How about you, Kevin? You want to try second base?
Okay.
All right!
Oh.
Oh, Matt, come on, none of that. We're a team. Let's be a team. Now, come on, get out there and hustle. Let's go! Yeah! Huh? Kevin, remember, the word is fun. So just go on out there, and what you catch, and what you miss, okay?
Okay, Dad.
Okay. Way to go, Kevin!
My great pleasure to introduce our valedictorian, Kevin Buckland.
Thank you. You know, when I was 9 years old, I had kind of a rough time. A lot of people thought I was pretty mixed up. But there was one person who got me through it. He did everything right. And thanks to him, today, well, I'm the happiest, most confident, and most well-adjusted person in this world. Dad, I love you. You're the greatest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to you all here this morning. It is very appropriate this Father's Day Sunday that we are in our summer series called The Good Life, and this morning talking about the good life and parenting. How many of you have seen that movie called Parenthood? Yeah, many of you have. It's a great movie. Another one of those great movies that shows the reality and the perplexity of family life in a very emotional and humorous way. I think every one of us as parents can identify with Steve Martin in that little clip as he envisions his son becoming the valedictorian, giving all the credit to his father, everyone in the audience applauding yay for dad and for what he has accomplished, only to have to wake up and face reality again. Parenting. One of the highest privileges a person can have, and yet a privilege that comes with extraordinary, humbling, and at times overwhelming responsibilities. Now, while God has not given us a detailed manual on how to handle any and every parenting situation, He has given us the principles in His Word that we need and the power that we may lack through the power of the Holy Spirit to be the parent that God has called us to be, if we will but practice those principles and tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78 both call us to teach our children who God is and what God has done. Ephesians 6:4 calls us to raise our children in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21 tells us not to embitter or to discourage our children. And Proverbs 22:6 tells us that we are to train up a child in the way he ought to go, in his or her own individuality. You see, in reality, all of Scripture is applicable to every one of us. And therefore, it is certainly applicable, all of the Scriptures, to each and every one of us as parents and as children. Parenting is arguably the most important task that we may be called on to do in this life. And yet it is a task that we usually come to ill-prepared, untrained, and most of the time totally terrified about. I had a parent just the other day say to me, "How do you know when you're doing the right thing? Am I too harsh? Am I too soft? I just don't know." Which begs the question, how do we know? How do we parent? How do you parent in normal circumstances? And how do we parent when we might consider them to be a little abnormal circumstances? Like in my own life. How do you parent when you find out you're going to have twins? How do you parent when you find out at age 3 1/2 that one is diagnosed with leukemia? How do you parent when faced with a child with some kind of physical, mental, or perhaps emotional disabilities? How do you parent when you can give your children anything and everything that they want? And how do you parent when you can't give them anything and everything that they want? How do you parent when there has been a divorce or when there has been a death? To parent is challenging under the best circumstances, and it's downright difficult under the worst of circumstances. To become a parent requires no special training, no license, no certificate. We need a special training and special license in order to drive a car, but we need nothing in order to become a parent. And I don't know about you, but I know that I see all kinds of people in this world, and whether I'm out or in and different places, and I see parents and I see their kids, there are times that I really think, yeah, maybe there should be some kind of test. Parenting is indeed a complex and a challenging task. And there is so much that we could be talking about in parenting, and we can't cover it all here this morning. We could talk about what does it mean to be a father. We could talk about what it means to be a mother. Somebody once said that, you know, if being a mother was so easy, even fathers could do it. We could talk about parenting preschoolers or parenting teenagers. We could talk about how to discipline and discipline at different ages. We could talk about that really parenting is about reaching the heart of our children. We could talk about the importance of relationships with our kids. We could talk about the importance of grace and truth and the balance in our parenting. We could talk about problems in parenting, like when we are overprotective or when we are overindulgent with our children. We could talk about how to instill in our children discipline and endurance and patience and courage. We could talk about how to build integrity and faith. We could spend perhaps a whole series on any and every one of those. But what I want to do this morning is to be able to talk to each and every one of us. Whether someday you will become a parent, or whether you are a brand new parent right now, whether you are a parent of elementary age kids, or you're the parent of a teenager, maybe you're a parent of young adults just branching out on their own, or perhaps you're a step parent, or maybe you might be a longtime grandparent, or perhaps you may be even grandparents who are raising their own grandkids. I believe that God has something to say to each of us this morning. So this morning, what I'd like to do is to describe two characteristics of parenting, and then to share with you what I think are some of the worst and some of the best things that we can do for our children in pursuit of what we would call the good life. I believe that these are true for us as parents of any age and any stage. Number one is this, is that parenting is personal and permanent. Parenting is personal and permanent. Parenting, indeed, is deeply personal. Why? Because when we are talking about parenting, we're talking about the most gut-wrenching and the most sensitive part of our lives. For parenting brings out the best in us, and yet it brings out the worst in us. And you probably don't have to travel too far from your own families to see that. It has been my experience in my own life and in my interactions with others that parenting is indeed the most pride-producing part of our lives. For it's real easy, much like the clip that we saw earlier, it's real easy for us to take all the credit if things are going good, but none of the blame if they're going bad. It is the most pride-producing part of our life. And yet parenting is also perhaps the most humbling part of our life. For if we really realized how very little control we have over our children and how it is by the grace of God that they grow up in spite of us, that we are humbled in our parenting. And yet when I talk to parents and when I listen to people talk about parenting, I get the sense that parenting ought to be added to the things, to that list of things of what not to talk about, like politics and religion and parenting. Talking about parenting gets the emotions flowing. I encourage you, try it sometime. Just disagree with somebody about their parenting. Or question somebody's parenting decisions. Or better yet, criticize their children. And see what kind of response you get. Parenting is deeply personal. Why is it so personal? Two primary reasons. One, because of the passion we have in wanting the best for our children because we love them. The passion that we have because we love them. So we grab on and we hold on tightly to anything that we think that is going to give our children the life that we dream for them. We want anything and everything that will give them the advantage to grow into healthy, productive men and women who love God and love people, to be men and women who serve their fellow human beings with compassion and mercy and to treat others as they desire to be treated. And therefore, we become adamant about wanting to know what will help them to be healthy now and in the future. What discipline can we give them now that will give them the ability to say no to selfishness and to say yes to God? What is it that we can do now that will help them to succeed in school and in life and some kind of a career? What is it that we can do that will help them to grow, to be capable of giving love and receiving love, of being in an intimate relationship with somebody else? We are passionate about that. And secondly, parenting is personal because when we are talking about our children, we really are talking about ourselves. Our own sense of esteem, our own importance, our significance is wrapped up in our parenting. Our own understanding of who we are and how we feel about ourselves is intimately wrapped up in how well or how not well our children may be doing. Indeed, our lives are greatly influenced by how well our children are doing. It has been my experience that many parents indeed have made their parenting, or rather maybe I should say that they have made how well their children are doing or not doing as the measurement of how well they are doing. So they say things like this: if my children are doing well, I must be okay. In fact, I'm good. And if my children are not doing so good, then I must not be okay. In fact, I must be bad. Our sense of self is wrapped up in our children. Even worse, for Christians, for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I see this over and over again. It is, in a sense, it is as if we have made our parenting the measuring stick of our own spirituality, of our relationship with God. That is, if my children are doing well, then I must be okay with God. And if my children are not doing well, then I must not be okay with God. But that's not how God gauges our okayness. God gauges our value and our significance on His love for us and what Christ did on the cross in paying the penalty for our sins and giving us His righteousness. It's not on how well or how not so well our children may be doing. In fact, God in His Word calls us to faithfulness as parents, not necessarily success. Why? Because we don't control our children. We can't control what they choose to do, and thus parenting is deeply personal. But parenting is also permanent. Parenting is also permanent. Once a parent, always a parent. See, parenting requires that we fulfill a multitude of responsibilities, but those responsibilities vary and they change with the age of our children. It's one thing to talk about parenting a 2-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 22-year-old or even a 42-year-old. And parenting indeed changes over the years, but one thing does not change. If you are a parent, you will always be a parent. And therefore, you will always have that parenting passion and that parenting emotion, sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. You see, whether young or old, parents will always be parents. And parents will always be wondering whether or not they have done a good enough job. And they will always be wondering and worrying about how well their children are doing. That's just the way that it is. My two boys turn 34 next month, and I am just as concerned for their well-being today as if they were 3 or 4 or 13 or 14. Just the other day, I had a friend tell me that her firstborn son was getting married, and she said to me, "I lay awake at night wondering whether he's ready for this or not. Did we do a good job? What if we didn't do a good job? What if he can't handle this? What if he fails?" And I lie awake at night just petrified, she said. Not long ago, I had a call from a woman in her 70s who was asking for some parenting help with her son, who is in his 40s. Once a parent, always a parent. Therefore, no matter what the age of our children, it is important for us to consider how to bring out the best in us and not the worst. It is important for us to consider what principles from God's Word needs to be applied at this particular time, in this particular circumstance, in this situation. It is important for us to consider what I should be doing as a parent now as I draw upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be who God wants me to be. Parenting is deeply personal, and it's permanent. And as we consider these things, it's with that in mind that I want to share with you what I call 7 of the worst and 7 of the best things that we can do for our children, no matter what age. So that brings us to the first, letter A. The first worst thing that we can do is to create a child-centered family. A child-centered family, which means that the first best thing that we can do is create a God-centered family. A God-centered family. Now, a child-centered family is one in which the kids are running the show. It's a family in which the children are the center of the universe and everything revolves around them, where there are constant power struggles between parents and children, and oftentimes between parent and parent. Where everything is for and about the children. And everything else gets put on the back burner. And the ultimate question in a child-centered family is, what does the child want? On the other hand, a God-centered family is one in which God is the center of life and of living. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." When Jesus was asked which was the greatest of the commandments, this was the commandment, this was the statement that he went to. This is the answer that Jesus gave, that all of our life, that means everything, that means even our parenting, should be given to God, and that in our parenting we need to follow Him, not our children. Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78 challenges us as parents to make God the central focus of our daily living. It is who God is and what God has done that becomes the focus of what to teach and what to model and what to encourage in our children. So the ultimate question in a God-centered family is, what does God want? So whether your children are young or old, is God the center of your life? Are you modeling for them the priority of a God-centered life? And that brings us to the second worst thing, and that is making your parenting your priority relationship. Making your parenting your priority relationship. And that means the second best thing would be this, making your marriage your priority relationship. Making your marriage. Now, if you're not married, if you're a single parent, then that priority relationship remains the relationship with the Lord. But if you're married, the marriage is the priority relationship in the family. Making your parenting your primary relationship means that other relationships takes a backseat to what you have to do with or for the kids. It means putting the marriage on the back burner and thinking, well, I'll get to that later, or I'll get to that as soon as I can, or I just don't have time for that. We just have too much to do. We don't have the money anyway, or maybe we'll do it later, or after the kids are grown, then I'll focus on my marriage. And God says, if you are married, that your marriage is the priority relationship in the family. And we discussed some of that last week in our discussion about the good life and marriage. It is not something that can wait. For way too soon, you will be sitting there staring at each other across the table, living in the empty nest and saying, who are you? And now what do we do? I'm often asked what I believe is the absolute best thing that we can do for our children. And without hesitation, I will always answer the same way. I believe that the greatest and the best thing that you can do for your children is to build a strong, stable, and godly marriage. The greatest overall influence that you will have on your children will not come as mom and dad, but as husband and wife. Building a strong, godly marriage builds in children a security and a stability and a confidence that allows them to develop their own relationship with God, their own relationship with other individuals, and even their own relationship with themselves. So whether your children are young or old, if you are married, is your marriage the priority relationship in the family? The third worst thing is being a pal, not a parent. Being a pal, not a parent, which means that the third best thing is being a parent, not a pal. Now, being a pal and not a parent means that we are trying too hard to be quote-unquote cool and to be liked by our children. It's trying to be one of them and not to be some old, out-of-touch, embarrassing adult, but to be more like their friends. Now, friendship will come. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But right now, in the early years, it's not about being their friend. It's about being their parent. See, when there is no difference between the child and the parent, the result is chaos and insecurity and instability. This happens often as a result of parents that are living their lives through their children, such that if the parent is insecure, then they find security in their children. If the parent is unhappy, they find happiness in their children. If the parent feels like a failure, they often live vicariously through the success of their child, and they will do sometimes almost anything and everything to push that child to that success. Why? For the child? No. But for themselves. And that's why it really is absolutely necessary that we understand our goals for our children and God's goals for our children. Certainly the primary goal is that of godly character and that our children develop their own personal relationship with God. But from the very beginning when you first have that child, if one of our goals is not to let them go, then we're missing the boat. Our goal must be to let them go. Let me read to you what one author said. He said, God has designed your child to function independently of you. This is what is so difficult about parenting. You are investing in helping your child leave you. In the biblical teaching that children should leave father and mother, the meaning of leave is to forsake. And every mom and dad who has sacrificed for and loved a child suffers a real parent wound when their child grows up and leaves. And yet, mature parents gladly suffer this wound because they know the benefits that the child will receive from that investment. It is absolutely crucial to understand that our role as parents will change with the age of our child, and with the change of the role, the change comes with our responsibilities as a parent. I like using this little sports analogy. that when our children are between the ages of 0 and 5, it's like parents are like the team owner. They have complete control and responsibility for their children. Absolute control. Ages 5 to 10, it's like the parents become the team manager who makes all the important decisions but begins to let the child begin to take some responsibilities of their own. From ages 10 to 15, parents are like the team coach, still making most of the decision but passing more and more of the responsibility on to the child as they work with them to learn how to handle those responsibilities. And then from ages 15 to 20, parents are more like the team trainer, where their primary responsibility for life has already been now passed on to the child, and it is the job of the trainer to simply point them in the right direction and to help them to see some things that they might not be seeing. So from the experience and from the training of the trainer, they're able to show some blind spots. But the responsibility has been passed to the child. And then from ages 20 on up, it's like parents have now become the sporting consultant. And a consultant only consults when they have been called in. They will give their opinions, but their opinions may or may not be accepted. The child is now a full-grown adult. The child is now fully responsible for themselves. And it's at that point, as we are consultants to our children, only coming in when we have been asked to come in, giving our opinion but allowing them to make the choices that they're going to make, that's when the relationship between parent and child begins to develop more and more into that of friendship. Never losing the fact that we are parent and child, but becoming friends. So whether your children are young or old, are you treating your children with the respect due their age and the responsibility due your age? As parents, are you understanding when and how your role changes, and are you making the necessary adjustments over time? And that brings us to the fourth worst thing. The fourth worst thing is this: paying no attention to your spiritual life. Which means that the fourth best thing is paying close attention to your spiritual life. Paying close attention to your spiritual life. It is certainly true that the absolute of highest priority and the most important part of your life is your own personal relationship with God. God has created us as spiritual beings. In other words, we will worship something. The question is what? Paying no attention to that spiritual side of your life, paying no attention to the fact that you are worshiping something, really only leads to a pride and an arrogance and a cynicism, to a self-centeredness, to self-protectiveness, and ultimately to fear. And when we pay no attention to our spiritual side of our life and our relationship with God, and we end up in that kind of fear, there's only two things that we end up doing as a parent. For you see, fear leads to either authoritarian control or to permissive indifference. To either authoritarian control or to permissive indifference when fear is the motivating factor. See, the problem is you can't pass on what you don't have. You can't pass on to your children something that's not true in you. But you will be passing something on. The question is, what is it? If you don't have a growing relationship with God, how is it that you expect your children to have one? Each child, it is true, each child must come to a saving faith on their own. Every individual, every child must develop their own personal relationship with God. They must come individually to that saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and what he did on the cross and what God has done in his love. For the statement really is true that God has no grandchildren. And therefore, it is the responsibility of us as parents to grow in our own relationship with God such that we can teach and we can model and we can show what a vibrant and a healthy spiritual life is all about and what a relationship with God looks like. So as you grow more and more in your knowledge and in your relationship with God and in His Word, you will ultimately be better able to encourage in your children the same kind of a relationship. So whether your children are young or old, are you modeling in your life a growing, vibrant relationship with God? And that brings us to the fifth. For the fifth worst thing is what I call running when problems come. Running when problems come, which means that the fifth best thing is trusting when problems come. Trusting when problems come. There is no doubt, and we all know, that life is full of problems, full of struggles, full of difficulties. Even Jesus knew that when he said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." We're told in James chapter 1 that we are to consider it joy when we encounter various trials and tribulations. And as parents, we will indeed face all kinds of untold problems and struggles and difficulties over the courses of our lives. And the question is, what do we do? I find that there really are two kinds of people when it comes to problems. There are those who run, and there are those who trust. Those who run, and those who trust. To run simply means that we ignore the sovereignty of God and we try to solve all of our problems by ourselves. And to trust simply means that we have faith in the sovereignty of God and that God has all things in control, and we will by faith trust Him and we will learn to wait. Sometimes those who run even run to God. They run to God, they run to the church, they get their problem solved, and then they leave again. Some people who run away from God, they run away from the church, they get their problem solved, and then they come back again. The problem is both are wrong, for both ignore the fact that God wants you to stay, that God wants you to trust. God desires that we go to Him and we stay. So that's why the psalmist tells us that God is a refuge, a strength in time of trouble. That's why we read in Isaiah chapter 40 that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So whether your children are young or old, do you exhibit in your life a trust and faith in the absolute sovereignty of God? Do they see you trusting in the Lord and waiting on Him? Do they see in your life that you believe and you live as if God is your refuge and your strength? And that brings us to the sixth worst thing. Disciplining by default. Disciplining by default. Which means that the sixth best thing is disciplining by design. Disciplining by design. Now, discipline is really defined very simply. It's basically this. It is teaching obedience to God and His Word through consistent consequences, that is our actions, and clear instructions, that is our words, all done in an atmosphere of love. Teaching obedience through consistent consequences and clear instructions in an atmosphere of love. And yet when we discipline out of default, we discipline with fear and with anger and with frustration and guilt. We discipline out of habit. Maybe we discipline using the latest fad that is sweeping the country, or we discipline because that's what our parents did. And yet to discipline out of design is to discipline with love and with purpose. It is to discipline with both truth and grace. It is to imitate God's own discipline as outlined in Hebrews chapter 12. So that to discipline our children and to discipline out of design is to discipline based on the age of the child and the intent of the action. So while technically adult children are not disciplined by their parents anymore, as fellow adults and as friends, we are encouraged in the Scriptures to admonish one another, to encourage one another, to come alongside one another. We are encouraged to exhort and to even go to those who perhaps have been caught in a sin with the purpose of reconciliation and restoration. When you've developed the relationship of being a friend. So whether your children are young or old, are you disciplining by design according to the age and the stage of life? And that brings us to the seventh worst thing. The seventh worst thing is to denying your humanness. Denying your humanness. And that means that the seventh best thing is admitting your humanness. Admitting your humanness. Now, what do I mean by that? Denying your humanness simply means ignoring the fact that you make mistakes and you sin. Denying our humanness is failing to acknowledge before our children that we make mistakes, that perhaps you disciplined out of anger instead of out of love, that you lost self-control, that you said something hurtful, or that you did something offensive to your children, no matter what age they are. Denying our humanness is not admitting to our children, maybe not admitting to others, maybe not even to ourselves. It is denying that we make mistakes and that we sin. It is not admitting to our children that we make mistakes and that we sin. It is not apologizing or asking for forgiveness. And yet we are all, every single one of us, the Bible says, we are all sinners. We are all human. To err is human. And we will do our children a disservice no matter how old they are when we fail to acknowledge our humanness. That we make mistakes. That we sin. That we struggle. That we don't always do what we want to do, and sometimes we do what we don't want to do, and we don't do what we do want to do, just as Paul says in Romans. We're all sinners saved by grace. Is that a part of our parenting? 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. So you see, parenting is deeply personal. And it requires that we love as God has loved us because love covers a multitude of sins. So whether your children are young or old, are you honest about your mistakes and about your sins? Are you transparent in your life about those things? Do you offer and do you receive grace and mercy and love and forgiveness? Parenting is deeply personal, and yet it's permanent. There are some things that for each and every one of us, whether you are a mother, a father, whether you are going to become a parent, whether you are a grandparent, whether no matter what situation you're in, the issue is there are some things that God calls us to and others that He calls us not to. So that brings us to the application and the question for us, the challenge for my parenting. Is where is God speaking to you this morning? In one of these perhaps areas? Maybe in several of these areas? Maybe even in all of these areas? So whether your children are young or old, is God the center of your life? Are you modeling for your children, no matter what age, the priority of a God-centered life? Whether your children are young or old, is your marriage the priority relationship in the family? Whether your children are young or old, are you treating your children with the respect due their age and with the responsibility due your age? Do you understand when and how your role changes over time, and are you making the necessary adjustments when that happens? Whether your children are young or old, are you modeling in your life a growing, vibrant relationship with God? Whether your children are young or old, do you exhibit a trust and faith in the sovereignty of God? Do they see you trusting in Him and waiting on Him? Is God your refuge and your strength in the midst of struggles and problems? Whether your children are young or old, are you disciplining by design, exhorting and admonishing according to the age and stage of life? And whether your children are young or old, are you honest about your own life, your own mistakes, your own sins? Are you transparent in your life? Do you offer grace and mercy? Are you able to receive grace and mercy and love and forgiveness? For that's the good life when it comes to parenting. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we are so thankful that you have created parents. For all of their goodness and all of their badness, Lord, this is the design that you have given to us. For we indeed are humans, and we make mistakes, and we fail, and at times we sin. And yet it is in your grace and your mercy that you sent your Son to die on the cross in our place. Father, we thank you for that grace and that mercy, for your love, your faithfulness to us. For we know that love covers a multitude of sins, and for that we are thankful. We pray that that would be the case in our parenting, no matter the age of our children. Father, we ask that we would be people who remain God-centered in our families. That if married, we'd remain focused on our marriages as the priority relationship. That we would accept all of the responsibilities that come regardless of the age. That we would pay close attention to our spiritual life and our relationship with you such that we can model that for our children. May we trust in your sovereignty, your love, and your faithfulness. And Father, may you find us ever faithful as parents, whether or not we are successful. For that is up to you. And we leave our children in your hands. And Father, now may you be glorified. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.